Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
This is The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. How about that? Being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production. Matt Richtel is our special guest out of San Francisco this weekend, and we've got him on for a few segments. Matt is the author of Hooked, a thriller on love and other addictions. Mm-hmm. Matt, just wants you to pick it up and get it and read it, right?
Sure.
Also want to welcome a new sponsor to The Advertising Show. This is Open Ad. And openad.net is
right.
The name.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically their slogan is the smarter way to create your advertising from the freshest creative minds on the planet. So what they're doing, world-class agencies to the best independents, to the brightest freelancers, openad.net. Global creatives deliver creative concepts direct to your desktop in a matter of days. It's kind of an interesting concept, and we invite you to check it out, openad.net. Also want to invite a brand new feature here this week to The Advertising Show. Obviously, we've got Gene Bliss coming your way very shortly. Gene is going to talk about how to de-silo something, okay? That's the customer experience. A little bit later on in the show, Shamin Abbas, activist for excellence. And basically, it's PR and the business culture and how those two integrate. So we've got Shamin with us as well as a brand new contributor here to The Advertising Show. There's a whole bunch of great stuff going on.
Yeah.
And we're out of time. Go for it.
See you next week.
Yeah.
You know, it's great having Shamin on the show because we're tackling public relations, which is a subject that is misunderstood, I think, by a lot.
I think it's misunderstood because it's mostly like smoke and mirrors.
Well,
it's like, you want an ROI, you want to do something that you can actually put a face value on, and I think PR is that smoke.
Well, and what's interesting, you know, having over 7 years of history of having publicists and PR people sending you and me material, half of it you have to say, why are you sending me this? It has absolutely nothing to do with The Advertising Show. And I know Matt Richtel, today's guest, is a writer for The New York Times. I'm sure he's gone through this himself. If you hire a PR firm, you might want to check who they're sending releases to, because if it's anything like our experience, and I'm sure Matt as well, half of the stuff we get, it just has nothing to do with
that's
the show.
Right, So it'll be a good feature to look at as well.
Yeah.
Google is doing something that Starbucks has done.
No,
they're not building, making coffee.
Selling records.
They've basically built the most powerful brand in the world with no brand advertising.
Mm-hmm.
But as ads for Google Maps crop up on buses in San Francisco and trains in Chicago, it's clear the company is willing to shell out ad dollars to grow a product that is key to both local and mobile search. And it's very interesting. The branding, this, by the way, is from Advertising Age. The branding push promoting the service's transit features and comes at a time when Google is courting brand advertisers to buy online display ads, TV and radio. Incidentally, its own campaign focuses on the one medium Google hadn't dabbled in selling, and that is outdoor with the transit stuff. So spending the bucks, as is Starbucks these days as well, too,
and
on
they,
the radio.
They came out with a new cup that's all controversial because it has a female showing a particular part of her anatomy. There's two of them to give you an idea of what I'm talking about.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, you can go buy a cup. You'll see what I'm talking about. By the way, last week, Ray, we talked about how Google, a suburb of St. Paul, Minnesota, North Oaks, is demanding that Google Maps remove their images of homes in their community from the site's Street View feature. The city claims Google is trespassing North Oaks and, right to privacy, I suppose, and it's believed to be the first U.S. city to ask for street images to be removed. So I think they're doing that as a publicity stunt to get people like us to mention it on the show.
Hey, there's that PR thing again. Yeah. On The Advertising Show, Ray Schillens, Brad Forsyth, and Gene Bliss, the customer experience. That's coming up right now.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Let's de-silo something. As we all know, the silos working together on projects isn't organic inside our companies. But the companies who are making traction pick one project to start and build up to this new way of working together, of having everybody consistent on a project from beginning to end. One great and tangible, read, operational, and easy to understand project that gets customers greatly and helps to build this competency inside your company is to start working on your website experience. Today we have our customers navigating our websites, but it's like they're navigating our organization charts. Bring in your IT group, marketing, sales, service, operations, and everybody else that creates an impact or responds to customers from your internet, and map and rethink the experience with everybody in the room. Focus in on just one area of your web experience first, keep things easiest, and so that the product doesn't get so insurmountable that people abandon ship before learning to work together.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
And thank you, Gene Bliss, our customer experience on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. Matt Richtel is a reporter for the New York Times. Since 2000, he's been based in the San Francisco Bureau, where he's covered technology, telecommunications, venture capital, Silicon Valley cultural issues, and a host of other topics, including internet gambling and pornography, which is why I see that drew you in there.
Yeah.
Matt undertook the issue of compulsive technology use in his recent best-selling thriller, Hooked. Basically, the novel is subtitled A Thriller About Love and Other Addictions. But there's more to Matt, and we'll share that with you throughout the show here. Mm-hmm. I mean, some really interesting tidbits, including his favorite teams.
Right.
Which, how can you have two different...
Favorite teams.
I'm not sure about that. Anyway, Matt is a child of Boulder, Colorado, the son of two avid readers. Well, that certainly spurred his reading and writing, I'm sure. But anyway, the book is called today, the author of The Hooked, A Thriller on Love and Other Addictions, and we'll tell you how to find that as well here in just a moment.
Yeah.
Got about a half a minute here.
Well, and you know, the fact that he wrote on, he writes regularly for the New York Times technology department, internet gambling and pornography, right there, just covering those two topics, there's a book. That's apparently how he came up with this idea.
There's also a book here, and the fact that he is writes the syndicated daily comic strip, Rudy Park.
Yeah.
And he does that in his spare time. Probably also juggles and rides unicycles here in The Advertising Show. Ray Shillins, Brad Forsyth, and we'll be back with Matt. You've heard almost all about him in just a minute.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn, or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
These are the three largest selling soft drinks. Now, let's have a look and see what makes them so popular. As you can see, this one is a cola. It looks like a cola.
Welcome back to The Advertising Show. As promised, Matt Richtel like is our special guest. Hooked is the book. He wrote it. It's a thriller on love and other addictions. Matt is an author, a journalist, and a cartoonist. Rudy Park is his comic strip as well. Basically, The Hooked is his first novel, and he's currently writing a second, tentatively titled idol's mind. Matt makes most of his living as a New York Times reporter, covering technology and telecommunications from the San Francisco Bureau. Always like that. You know, it's not an office. It's a bureau.
Yeah.
I like that. Hey, Matt, it's great to have you on the show. Welcome to the Advertising Show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I thought for a moment there Ray was doing a great impression of Jim Lang, and he was going to say, welcome to the dating game, Matt Richtel. Anyway,
that's
interesting.
Can't date.
I
want married.
To tell you guys, I really like both of you, but I am married.
Yeah, well, I heard that. And by the way, congratulations on the upcoming birth of your first child. And congratulations.
Yeah. Bradley Ray is what he's calling him.
And you don't have to do that, but, you know, that's up to you. Ray Bradley.
I agreed that I would do Ray if it was a girl.
Well, and we know for sure that it's going to be a boy.
Yes, exactly.
I've already set this down the wrong path.
Well, that's
right. No, that's okay. We'll bring it back.
Let's talk a little bit about your book. By the way, we're approaching 7 years of doing the Advertising Show. First time ever of having a novelist on the program. Typically, when we do interview authors, it's business books and like. But yet, a first for us. So I understand when you sat down, Matt, you didn't really intend to write a book. So what happened? How did you come about this book? And were we right in mentioning that the covering of internet gambling and pornography may have had something to do with it?
Not entirely unrelated. And frankly, it'll take me a second to get there, but this is not at all unrelated to advertising and its culture and the way technology's playing into it. But it'll take me a second to get there. I'll tell you how I managed to. I call this an accidental thriller, in that I really didn't intend to write a novel. I was sitting in a cafe, and I'll tell you the first couple paragraphs of the book, and it will explain why the book is written and, in a way, lay a foundation for how it leads to the rest of these questions.
Sure, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so this is what I write. I write, a 30-something is sitting in a cafe in San Francisco. He sees a woman's beautiful hand put a note on his table. Well, by the time he looks up at her, she's gone, and he picks up the note and he wonders, am I being picked up? What's happening? He goes to follow her. At the door to the cafe, he opens the note. It says, get out of the cafe now, and the cafe explodes. And he's sitting in the rubble outside, having survived, and he's thinking about his ex-girlfriend who died 4 years earlier. Well, as he's sitting there, he realizes he's not thinking of her because he often still mourns her. It's because he recognizes her handwriting. So I sat there and I thought, I got to know how this story ends. He apparently has received a note in the handwriting of his dead girlfriend as an internet cafe explodes. What's going on? For someone who has a relatively short attention span as a writer, I write in 1,000-word chunks for the newspaper or shorter chunks for a comic strip. It took a great deal of passion and a big gang of muses to get me going on the book, but they were there, and I wrote it over a period of 5 months.
Wow.
And there's some truth to the fact that you do character development as writers do, and you kind of let the story take on its own life and take it wherever it ends up, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that would be the broader connection to advertising. I'll mention in a second, but yeah, I find that as a writer, the key thing to do is to connect with people where they really feel and really think. And this story, I let a visceral story be told. I let characters that really existed inside of me be told, and by extension, when I write my journalism, I'm trying to connect with readers where they live and where they feel. And I suppose that's also the essence of great advertising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. And being able to connect with, a real touch to the reader, or in the case of advertising, the consumer, is what will motivate them or keep their attention. And it's all about telling a story. And you tell a story in a book or in a short 30-second commercial. You know, you mentioned that the book is fictional, of course, and yet you say it's the truest thing that you've ever written. What rings true about this book, Matt?
Well, there's an emotional component and there's an intellectual component. The emotional component rang true because I had really the piece of that about the ex-girlfriend for me came from ending a very powerful relationship and trying to figure out how to deal with it and understand loss. That piece of it was absolutely from the gut real. But all the while that I had been writing for the Times, I had been gestating a theory about the way we live our lives in the 21st century, how fast it is, our compulsive use of email, our compulsive use of phones, how the broadband that is coming to us, we sometimes joke as being, almost like a drug addiction. And that piece of it, I'm not sure how much I should give away about the sprawling conspiracy that our character discovers, but I believe there are some really powerful influences right now that are compelling us to be hooked all the time. And I actually think before I go any further with it, just say a piece of that has to do with our advertising today, how fractured it is, how desperate people are to reach our attention, and how difficult it is to find our attention in an era where our head is on a swivel all the time.
The book is called Hooked, a Thriller on Love and Other Addictions, and we have more to talk about the book and other things in Mac Richtel's life, including gourmet guacamole. I'm not joking. Here at the Advertising Show, being powered by Shipple.com, it's a program called Tendency that operates within that Shipple platform and generates an incredibly killer marketing opportunity. So check it out at Shipple.com with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show, and more with Matt in just a minute.
Why do more media professionals read iWantMedia.com? iWantMedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iWantMedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iWantMedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iWantMedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Stronger than dirt. And you're back on The Advertising Show, probably listening with your iPod or something like that, because you've got another 25 minutes on the treadmill. Well, good for you. It's Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, and our special guest is Matt Richtel. And Matt has written a book called Hooked, a thriller on love and other addictions. But in his spare time, Brad, Matt writes a syndicated daily comic strip. It's called Rudy Park. The strip, launched in 01, revolves around the lives of regular and occasional patrons at an internet cafe. It appears in newspapers around the country, Chicago Sun-Times, Orange County Register, and more, under the pen name Theron Hare. I hope I said that right. Comic illustrated by Darren Bell, is the subject of two book compilations, Rudy Park, The People Must Be Wired, and Rudy Park, Peace, Love, and Lattes. So, as we said, the guy's busy. Well, Matt, welcome back to The Advertising Show.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, and he's busy enough to even have his wife barefoot in the kitchen, as they say. You know, he mentioned he called his book an accidental thriller. His wife just emailed me. He said that this is also how she referred to her first two trimesters in exactly the same way. Yeah. So I don't know.
I hope she didn't refer to conception that way.
No, it was purely the trimester. She's got a different phrase for the conception, which we'll get into later. Yeah. You know, I understand that the main character of your book is a freelance journalist. How much of the character was based on yourself, Matt?
I would say, from a practical standpoint, very little, the substance of it, but emotionally, I've had all those experiences. I have been a freelance writer, and I understand what it's like to try to make a living that way, to do what you're passionate about, but also to have to make a living. So in that respect, yeah, the other thing is, he's a medical journalist, and my wife is just finishing her training as a doctor, a neurologist, and she helped immeasurably. So really, the short words like and the are mine, and the interesting words are hers.
Yeah, right. Well, that's good to know, and it's good to know that you have a wife that's soon to be making the big bucks, and you can continue to do your hobbies, I suppose.
Well, and the other thing that I've found about thrillers is they've gotten increasingly sophisticated. I feel like people, when they read a book, even one that's designed to be a thrill ride, that it's got to have some brains to it. And she really helped me beef up the science. We tried to make this a book where you might learn something and also say to yourself, is something really happening to me? Is there something physiological in the way I'm interacting with the world that's different than I expected?
Hmm. Well, you know, let's move into a little bit of talking about your day job, as we say. As Ray has mentioned, and we've talked a little bit about it, reading your bio, that you do write for the New York Times covering various topics. Curious, Matt, do you have a particular favorite industry that you enjoy reporting on? If so, why?
There's a bunch of stuff out here I find pretty interesting. I like writing about the video game industry. I like it because it's not really about kids anymore. It's a huge, huge industry. I'm trying to remember the numbers off the top of my head. Maybe it's $12 billion a year or something. But it's certainly rivaling the movie industry. And they're really getting into homes and dealing with adults and attracting adults. I like writing about that. I like writing about the venture capital industry, and I'll tell you, there's some pretty phenomenal people investing a lot of money and taking huge risks, and in particular now they're doing it in the area of alternative energy. Hundreds of millions, billions of dollars going to try to find alternatives to an oil and gas regime, if you will, and really it's really high risk. So that's interesting stuff. But, you know, mostly what I like writing about, and this is a broad category, is finding great stories. And those can run a huge gamut. In the last couple of months, among them have been writing about bloggers, and to the point that we are in a really fast-twitch, fast-paced world, I wrote a story about how the 24-hour always-on news cycle is creating enormous stress for journalists, and I imagine for advertisers too. But this is one of the reasons it's doing that is not just because the computer's always on, but because the new way we do advertising today gives you immediate feedback on what works and what doesn't. You get your hits as a journalist based on what you attract in a moment. So if you think about the stress level that's attendant to that, we could talk about the economic model, but if you think about the emotional stress level attendant to it, it means that if you get beat by a second on a story, the guy at theother.com just got all the ad dollars, mm-hmm. just got all the eyeballs. That means you got to be on it round the clock. It affects bloggers predominantly, but it also affects people in my industry, in the old-fashioned newspaper industry, as we make our move to the web.
Yeah. That is Matt Richtel here on The Advertising Show, author of Hooked, a thriller on love and other addictions. And, Brad, we're going to take a break here, and we'll be back with more. We've got another segment, and that's a good reason for you to stay right here.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy.
Back with you on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth and Matt Richtel, author of Hooked, a thriller on love and other addictions. Talked about the gourmet guacamole. Probably goes great with his outdoor barbecues. I understand you are a California Bears and Denver Broncos fan. Who are the California Bears, Matt?
That's Berkeley.
Yeah, University of California.
Okay, those guys. Okay.
My wife, I don't know what my wife was. University of Texas. Is that where in your parts? Is that good or bad?
That's a real good thing, especially in the studio, where we have the horns hanging up above one of our sound panels here. So that works well.
Yeah,
we like that. Anyway, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, and further, you're mentioning about the 24-hour news media cycle we all live and some work in. And just, you know, it seems to me, Matt, a lot of what is being called news today would not have ranked as news 10 years ago. And I think a lot of that, you tell me, but a lot of that really is just a matter of filling time. And really also, I think, what consumers are wanting to know more about today is not so much the topic of 10 years ago. Talk a little bit about that, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, that is a great question. We are in the midst of a huge transformation. Right now, a ton of what we see is, I'd put under the category of commentary. Does that make sense, where instead of people gathering news, they're commenting on the news that's out there?
Right.
And so is it merely filling space, or is a question, or is there a real market struggle going on about what consumers want as far as information? Do we want the information that we used to get? Do we need to have people in bureaus around the world gathering information from 10 newspapers or 12 newspapers? Or was that a luxury that the market can't really afford? I'm not sure if we know the answer to that right now. I do think, above all, what's happening is an extraordinary nicheification of news and information. I mean, you guys know this. You probably talked about the long tail. Mm-hmm. But you can go find a site if you're into, I don't know, Swedish literature that revolves around midgets.
Yeah.
You will find there will be a news and information site about that. And it's carving up our attention span, and it's carving up our advertising.
Don't we just want truth, honesty, and no bias? Wouldn't that be an appropriate thing to expect out of advertising?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you mean advertising or journalism?
Well, same thing. Yeah. Either way.
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the things that potentially gets lost here is the ethic of journalism that gets trained and honed through experience at newspapers and small news organizations, and those are getting fewer and fewer. Virtually every news organization, I can't think of one that hasn't had layoffs, we just had them recently,
right,
is cutting back. That means the training grounds that bred the objective, insofar as whatever that word means, but objective news gathering is eroding. And we have to figure out how valuable that is to us as a society. And if we do think it's valuable, then we will continue to support it through our attention and then through advertising by extension.
Well, I'm not sure, Matt, how many consumers out there of news and information understand the blurring of the line, as you've mentioned, about how many years ago, when a news person was moving off script and making a comment, an editorial commentary, there would be a great big notification that this particular journalist
editorialized
was,
content,
exactly,
right, yeah.
And they made a big deal about that. And today, so many times journalists are moving into a "let me tell you what you should be thinking about the news item I just talked about," and I don't think consumers. I'm not saying that they're stupid. I just don't think that they're aware of when a journalist is moving from reporting to editorializing.
Yeah, you raise a really good point, and one of the questions that we're trying to figure out as journalists or as news and information gatherers and presenters is, do people really care? I mean, after all, consumers seem often to be gravitating to places that give them an opinion rather than something straight down the middle. Does that mean the failing is ours as journalists? Is it the failing of, is it a belief that people want objective information when they really don't? Or is a piece of it, I don't think this is all of it, but a piece of it may be that we are so busy in our lives that listening carefully to information and taking the time to form an opinion about really difficult issues, for instance, healthcare reform. I mean, if all these informed members of the legislature can't get their heads around it. How are we supposed to do it as folks who are living everyday lives? Maybe people are gravitating towards opinion because they don't have time to think things through.
Yeah. Well,
I wish we had more time. We are really over on this last segment, yeah. Matt, but that's always true. When you have a great guest like yourself, it's Hooked, a thriller on love and other addictions. MattRichtel.com is one place you can go. It's RichtelCom. And Matt, what a pleasure having you on the show today.
Oh, thank you very much, gentlemen. It was great.
Go tell everybody to buy lots of books now, okay? And we'll be back with more with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Stay with us.
Under pressure? Get creative concepts fast. Run a global pitch on openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 advertising and marketing creators from 125 countries. Simply take 15 minutes to fill out our online brief form and we'll take care of the rest. From world-class agencies to the best independents to the brightest freelancers, openad.net global creatives can deliver creative concepts direct to your desktop in a matter of days. Why not save time, energy, and money by quickly sourcing concepts from the world's brightest creative minds? Visit openad.net and see how we're revolutionizing the way ideas are created and traded. It's simple, it's fast, and it's global. Openad.net, the smarter way to create your advertising from the freshest creative minds on the planet. Visit openad.net today to find out more.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
Do you know me? Would you believe I'm Bugs Bunny? I'm also the voice of many other cartoon characters. But in here, they don't care if I'm Elmer Fudd.
What a great guest Matt Richtel was, and a great book as well. Hooked, a thriller on love and other addictions. Here at The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, our longtime friend and a very special guest on numerous occasions coming up next week, the senior columnist at HollywoodToday.net, it's Alex Ben Block, is coming your way and coming our way next week. We hope you have a chance to listen to the show and join us at that time. Southwest Airlines, everybody's charging extra for everything, including one airline that you said was charging by the pound?
Well, they're not yet, but they're thinking about it, yeah.
My God, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Southwest says, this is from BrandWeek.com, as more airlines charge extra fees for things like checked baggage, aisle seat, Southwest begins a campaign positioning itself as the carrier that offers true low fares with no strings attached. It's GSD&M in Austin that has been the agency of choice for a long time for them.
Mm-hmm.
And new print, online banner ads, radio spots, and they say no surprise fees, and fees don't fly with us. They are the number 7 carrier in terms of annual revenue. They'll also bring back 2 TV spots that aired earlier last year between efforts that touted all new leather seats and the launch of business select fares.
Hmm.
So that's it. Basically, Southwest ads follow American Airlines' announcement very recently as a charge of $15 for a first checked-in bag, joining its $25 fee for a second checked-in bag. This is interesting, too. U.S. Airways also said it would cease serving pretzels to coach passengers July 1st as if they were worth getting. U.S. Air, you can take your pretzels and shove them, you know, into first class.
Yeah.
Many other network carriers squeezed by rising fuel costs, and we understand that.
Yeah.
I've already begun assessing fuel surcharges and fees for phone reservations, curbside check-in, ticket change fees, and snacks and beverages. But
yeah.
Southwest is still doing business the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
That is to please the customer. And that's what it should be all about, airlines, if you care to listen. Yeah, I doubt that you do, though.
And, you know, it's a great way of looking at your marketing strategy and saying we're going to look at the environment and make sure that we can capitalize on all the negative publicity out about their industry. And I think it's a great campaign. It's a well-thought-out idea there. Just to tie this in real quickly, because I know we need to break for our vignette here shortly. Customer satisfaction in the cable and satellite television industry, Ray, is on the rise, but apparently it's not saying much. In the University of Michigan's annual American Customer Satisfaction Index, recently released, overall customer satisfaction with cable and satellite rose 3.2% over the past year, yet the industry ranked second lowest among 18 measured in the study, finishing ahead of only airlines, as you were speaking about them. Something to be proud of, huh?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Enjoy your TV. Something like that.
While you're waiting on your airline.
Uh-huh. Shamin Abbas, our special guest in a brand new feature here. It's called Activist for Excellence. And the PR and business culture is what we're talking about today.
And now, it's time for Activist for Excellence. PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
A PR firm must understand a client's business culture. Every business has its own internal culture, mission, and personality. A PR firm, like an ad agency, needs to become inculcated in the culture of a client's business so that it can act as a representative of that business and speak about it as if it's from within the culture and with great passion. It's a mistake to think you can pick up all you need to know about a client's business from an occasional meeting, their website, marketing materials, and ads. You need to get to know your client one-on-one. You need to absorb that idealism and then drive those very ideas that drove the company to form in the first place. When a publicist knows enough of the facts about any given business and its culture, you can combine that knowledge with a publicist's natural enthusiasm. You're giving your client the best possible shot at editorial coverage. In some ways, the goal is never to say, "I'm not sure, let me ask my client and call you back." Interview your clients the way those journalists will. Get to know the firm's stories about how it got started, about how it may have struggled at first, about how the employees feel about their employer, and about how its principals view what they do and how they do it. Your passion for their business is infectious to a reporter, as long as it's sincere. If it's not, you already know that a decent reporter can smell insincerity over the phone, and that does not serve your client. Make it a practice to immerse yourself in a new client's cultural personality. Watch how principals interact with one another and subordinates. Elicit stories. Watch for emotional cues. And don't work with clients whose business model or mission you feel ambivalent about. Sometimes that's a luxury in this business economy, but you are not serving yourselves or your clients when you do not feel as charged up as they do about what they do.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence. PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's S-H-A-M-I-N ABASPR.com.
And very good. Thank you very much for that. Shamin Abbas here on the Advertising Show. Ray Schillens, Brad Forsyth. Alex Ben Block coming up next week. And what do you have there?
Well, you know, for our worldwide audience, Bennett Coleman, the publisher of the Times of India, many are familiar with, is buying the UK's Virgin Radio for $105.3 million, a deal believed to be the largest Asian media acquisition in the West. I always say, if Murdoch can do Hindu in India, why can't an Indian media house do English in England, huh? I mean,
that's
why
a trick
not?
Question.
Well,
right?
It was. It was kind of difficult to get through, but we made it.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Christian Dior, the French fashion brand, has become the latest global company to learn a hard lesson of the danger of offending the Chinese pride.
Hmm.
That was Sharon Stone basically had that little comment. They basically said that they had no choice but to drop her from China.
Yeah.
Ms. Stone said it was the Cannes Film Festival.
Right.
And I won't repeat that. It's not worth it. But timing for Dior was awkward with the Beijing Olympic Games just a few months away. And NBC Daily doing something on the Beijing Games. It's like, oh, come on already. Aren't we going to get enough of that all summer long? But every day. Every day on the Today Show, we have something about the Olympics.
Yeah, and you know
they bought the big promotional package, I guess.
And these actors have to learn to not speak outside of their realm of expertise. There are a few actors, Clooney is an example of one that, right, that's got some brains and can weigh in on politics and other thoughts. But some of these actors and actresses need to, you know, dial it back a bit when it comes to speaking out, even though everyone's welcome to their opinion. But purely from an image standpoint, they can destroy what the public thinks about them by making those kind of comments, as you just mentioned.
Before speaking, yeah, that'd be a good thing.
Yeah.
Advertising show next week, Alex Ben Block. Hope you can be here. Brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network, you can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth. This is Big Radio Midgets production.